You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Everybody, and welcome to Final Femme Podcast. My name is Sydney. I'm here with co-host Jack.
Hello. What's up?
Hello. How are you?
Sid, how are you? I almost forgot your name there.
Whoever you are.
Yep. Stranger.
Yes. Well, I'm good. How are you, Jack?
I'm doing swell.
Swell, because it's the 1950s?
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Yes.
And as it was a shortened one, Sid.
It was. I know. I'm like, let's get this out of the way. God. All right.
So I think this is like the pinnacle of the podcast for me. We had two back-to-back hour 15-minute movies. It's never going to get better than this. I should relish it and await the demise.
For this week's episode, we did House on Haunted Hill 1959 version with Vincent Price, which is the original. And as Jack said, it was an hour and 15 minutes. So, ta-da!
When they made movies the right way.
Okay. Had you seen this?
Now they're bloated.
Had you seen this before, Jack?
No, I have not. But, wow. That's all I can say.
Yeah, for a short movie, it packs a lot in there.
There's a lot. Mm-hmm. This is, we talked before this. I wrote so much down for such a short movie. It was kind of aggravating, frustrating.
A little bit, yeah. I think I had like 13 pages of notes, which for a short movie is quite a bit.
Seven over here.
But which still, is a lot for you.
Yeah.
You usually do like two pages of notes.
Yeah. I feel like I had to kind of keep track of where we were going in this movie, because there's a lot of weird misdirection stuff that happens.
There's a lot. This is a very clever movie. So the basic premise for this is a millionaire offers $10,000 to five people who agree to be locked in a large, spooky rented house overnight with him and his wife. So pretty straightforward plot, like, you would think.
I like that rented has to be in there.
Yeah, they're like, no, don't worry. It's not his.
He doesn't own this.
Exactly. Okay. Let's see. So this came out February 17th, 1959, just in time for Valentine's Day, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course. And what? Okay, so there's a budget, but there's not a ton of info. So the estimated budget for this was $200,000, and that's it. There's no other information on IMDb. All right, cool.
Well, I think some further Googling is in order then.
Yeah, you're going to do on-the-fly research, Jack?
Yeah.
On the fly research, baby. Ooh, two notes. Okay, well, while you're doing that, the official tagline on here is "See it with someone with warm hands," which creepy.
What?
I know. I'm like, okay. First of all, that's assuming a lot. Thank you. Let's see. Another one on here is "The doors are locked at midnight," which I don't mind. Boy, these kind of suck. Consult your doctor. Bring your seatbelts. What? Huh?
What the hell? These are the stupidest taglines.
They're not great. Yeah, okay. I think "The doors are locked at midnight" is my favorite. Do you find it?
It's an estimated like 2.5 million. Oh, like probably gross, like over time, I'm sure. But like, that's a lot of freaking money to make if the budget was 200,000.
True. I mean, it's $200,000 1959, so I guess I'm not sure what inflation would look like, but yeah, she made her money.
Yeah, The one that mentions, there's one of the taglines that mentions Emergo. Uh-huh. Now, this would be pretty interesting. It says the thrills fly right around, right into the audience. So they had like 3D.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know when 3D. This was.
Maybe it's just like the people who work at the theater are just pelting people with raisinettes from like up in the balcony. Whoa, it's a You mean ghost. When
they're careless? They were carelessly firing guns. So there's like people were just throwing bullets just and stuff into the movie theater. Got to make sure it's realistic.
Right. Oh, I forgot to mention this part. Okay, so this is directed by William Castle. It was written by Rob White. And our three main stars that they list at the top are Vincent Price, Carol Omart, and Richard Long. But we will get into all of these people, obviously.
I don't. Mm-hmm. No, I've ever seen a movie with Vincent Price in it, but
he's a treat.
I feel like I knew that's exactly how he would look and sound.
That's valid.
He has like the evil mustache. It like comes out like a little feathery at the end. Like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and he's the one that like narrates the end of Michael Jackson's Thriller, like darkness fills the land, the midnight hour is close at hand. That's Vincent Price. So you've heard his voice before. Unless, of course, you've never
heard Thriller, I mean,
which would be a crime.
I didn't listen to that part. I was listening to the song.
Jack! That's the best part.
Okay. You mean when the music's not playing? I don't
The think music's so. Still playing. It's just also Vincent Price talking.
Wow. Okay. I wish Vincent Price would have toured with Michael Jackson then and always done that intro for every time he played that song.
That would have been cool. Or just like if he had a TikTok account now, you know, if he weren't dead, I'd watch the fuck out of Vincent Price's TikToks.
He's dead?
Yeah, babe. He's dead. When
did he die? It looks like 93.
Was it? Oh, I didn't know he was around that long. Rest in peace, Vincent.
Born in 1911. Wow.
Yeah, he was around for a minute.
That's where that accent came from. Okay.
1910s.
Mm-hmm.
The transatlantic accent, yeah.
Yeah, this movie definitely has
heavy has on it.
At least, yeah. I mean, some of the characters, like Lance, definitely does.
Lance does, Vincent does, Annabelle does.
So everyone, I guess.
We should. Oh, actually, before we get into it, Jack, have you seen Captain Colors anywhere? Because I haven't seen him in the studio today, and you know we can't produce shit, so we're gonna need some help.
Last I saw, I was working at like a Sherman Williams or something like that, I think.
Okay. You know,
getting matching people's colors and
uh-huh.
I don't
Did
know.
Sid, why call I keep come in?
Fucking people.
Yeah, because he was in your bag.
He's not picking up, so he must be dead. That's that's the only thing I can think.
Oh my God.
Oh shit. Oh wait. I just got a voicemail.
Okay.
Or I've had a voicemail that I didn't listen to.
That sounds
let
like
me,
you.
Let me check it real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, get busy.
Sure.
You get busy not checking my email. Oh my God.
What?
So that was Cat Boys, and he said that he loved Lost Boys. He loved his experience. He's like, I'll see you next time.
Uh-huh.
But the recording cut off, so I know he's not coming back. So he loved the greaser look, you know?
Okay.
The bad boy leathers. Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't?
It's the hot rods. Well, some of us don't. But so he wanted to do that. But to live up to his name, mm-hmm. he decided he was going to be the first greaser with rainbow hair.
Ooh, just pretty.
You know, but have like rainbow colors. Mm-hmm. So he went to the hair dye factory and he was working on, they had a vat of each color. And he was
sure.
dipping it in, finishing touches, piss mm-hmm. yellow. He falls into the tank and drowned.
Oh my God. So, what a terrible way to go.
Yes. If you've dyed your hair, you know those chemicals smell like very strongly. So
well, and they, you know, burn. I have dyed my hair. They burn.
Yeah. And so Mr. Colors, I think he's just a skeleton now. So he's just white.
That is very sad.
So goodbye to, yeah, I know. Yeah. Do you want to, here, I can send the voicemail to you if you want to hear
it. Oh, no, that's quite all right. I trust, rest in peace.
We can play it on the podcast.
No, that's okay. Rest in peace, Captain Colors.
Okay, but I knew this was going to happen. I mean,
sure.
Look at our track record. So I went to Germany, and I thought, well, okay, they make good microphones and shit. So
sure.
We got to find, I went to find like a aristocratic family that was mm-hmm. in electronics
mm.
and they, their son, Von Dexter is here to help us out on that side.
Guten Tag, Von.
Guten Morgen, everybody.
Guten Morgen. It's been a while since German class.
Hello. He's been in America a lot. Well, he was just visiting his family there. He's
I have a chili donut.
Oh, JFK. Why'd you say that?
I hear you, Eddie Izzard.
Well, and
so welcome.
Along the lines of Vincent Price looking the way he looks.
Uh-huh.
Vincent Price also has a few cookbooks.
Really?
What? He has two of them. One of them he actually wrote with his wife, A Treasury of Great Recipes. And
amazing.
The first one, or I guess, I don't know, the first one. He also had another one, Cooking Price-Wise.
Like all cheap dishes to make?
I could be. I don't know. I don't own the book yet.
Yeah, that might be a yet. That would be a cool book to have. Both of them would be cool.
He was a frugal man's idol. I mean, he was the butcher boy for Stingy. So with his last name, he...
My God.
Capitalizing.
Jack. I was like, really? I didn't know that about... Fuck off, Jack.
Oh, you're believing me. I was waiting for the like, shut up.
Boo, both of you. Vaughn, you'll fit right in with Jack.
Wish I had a pencil thin mustache. Then I could solve mysteries too.
I'll draw it on you here real quick. Just hold still.
Hold still.
You're evil now.
Ta-da. Perfect. Looks so good.
Anyway, yes. Thank you, Vaughn, for
coming
to our rescue.
Thank you.
All the travel that you did to get to wherever you're recording from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right here in front of this microphone.
That's where you are. That's where I am, too.
Same.
Where I'm at.
Cool. Well, let's start the show.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
That lovely voice you heard.
There's something wrong with the audio.
I think my booth is haunted.
It sounds like it. It is a reoccurring sound throughout this movie. Jack and I were discussing before the episode, we thought it was a theremin, but I think it's actually a choir. I think there's a soprano that just kind of wavers her little voice around with her vibrato. Very effective.
It was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It was impressive.
Very much so. Sets on Haunted Hill opens with a black screen and a woman screaming and then a man laughing, which love it. Good start. And then we get a floating head and I had to pause a lot to do a lot of writing. So we get a floating head. This movie's in black and white, by the way. You should watch it, but just if you're weirdly averse to black and white, I guess know that going in. Yes, Jack.
And if you are, you can watch the terribly colorized version like I watched.
Did you?
Yeah. I wondered because there is like, it looked like I was holding a magnet up to my screen. So it was like fucking up the color. I was like, what is going on? Oh, yeah, this was black and white originally. Okay. So someone like colorized it.
I didn't know that. I thought you were going to say the 1999 version. I'm like, oh, God, I hope you didn't watch the wrong one.
I watched that one on accident.
Surprise.
I will have nothing to say.
Yeah. That one is fun because it's 90s, but this is the better one. And I hate to say that about a 90s movie.
Don't think I believe you, but I also looked at the length of the movie, and that one was longer, so I'm like, fuck that. We're just going to watch this one.
You don't believe me that the 90s version is, that the 59 version, the original, is better?
Oh, no, that you said the 90s one was good.
Is it's fun, but this is the better
it's
version.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Mm.
Although it pains me to say that about a 90s movie, as you know.
It was the 90s. That's what I was getting at. I was trying to insult you.
It was. Always and forever. Okay, so floating head, black and white. Our narrator, who is Watson Pritchard, and he is played by Elisha Cook Jr. And he tells us that he's going to show us the only haunted house in the world, which is a bold claim. And he says seven people.
His delivery.
Yeah.
I just want to stop you people and show you this terrifying. It was like he sounded scared, but it was the weirdest delivery of let me show you this haunted house line.
Yeah. I don't know. Watson clearly had some PTSD.
Yes.
He tells us he's going to show us the only haunted house in the world. Seven people, including his brother, have been murdered in it, and now he owns the house. Which, why wouldn't you sell it? Girl, why would you keep the house your brother got murdered in by Seriously. Your sister-in-law? But whatever, I digress.
Turn into a museum or something.
Something like that.
Capitalize on it. We're in America, you little bitch.
There you go. Yeah, turn your tragedy into profit. You heard it here, folks. First. Nope. You heard it.
It's what we do best.
You heard it here first, folks. Balls.
I like that tongue twister.
Anyways.
Sorry, we've gotten two lines into this.
I know. We've got a lot to get through for a short movie. Next, Vincent Price's head pops up, and with the house kind of in the background, and this is Frederick Lauren. And he is going to be our person who rented the house and is hosting the party, even though he keeps saying it's his wife's idea. So he says, I rented this house so my wife can throw a haunted house party. Oh, she's got a funny sense of humor. Ha ha. Like, it's the vibes.
I'm morbid.
The vibes between Frederick and his wife Annabelle from the jump are barbed, but also like very silky, and I'm into it. Ugh, the way they hate each other is so good.
It's kind of funny, too.
It's funny.
It kind of reminds me of like the Addams Family or something. It's like kind of playful like that sometimes, but the topic is always really dark.
It's very malice.
And it's actually done pretty well, I think. It's funny.
Yeah, like there's a lot of malice underneath all their friendly, light words to each other. So he says, if you can spend 12 hours in this house, you will get $10,000, which I did do the inflation calculation.
Thank you.
Because I'm a nerd. Today's standard, that would be around $111,000. $111,400 today. Oh,
absolutely. I would do that.
Right? I'm like, you get locked in at midnight and you only have to stay till 6 a.m. Like, I can fuck with that.
It's really not that bad. Like, it doesn't sound that bad on paper.
Yeah, true.
And this place, this house looks like a tomb. It looks like a pyramid tomb.
It does. There's
weirdly designed.
A lot of stone. So next we'll see.
The house was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And in fact incorporated a lot of his Mayan biscuits. One sec. I have this info.
You can use your German curse words. We won't leave it out.
Scheiße. Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Mayan revival architecture. It appeared in Blade Runner as well as House on Haunted Hill.
Mm.
Really?
That kind of blocky square in squares. Yeah. Yeah,
Frank Lloyd Wright.
That's cool.
It's like a giant ziggurat or something.
Yeah.
They cut to it a lot because there's a lot of, you know, ooh, look at the lightning, you know, that kind of stuff. So they show the house quite a bit, and it's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I would expect with a haunted house in the 50s, though. I'm thinking, like, way up on the hill, it's, like, derelict and falling apart. This place looks nice, and some rich dude owns it. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, which I didn't mind that. So next, while Vincent is talking to us, I'm sorry, Frederick. I'm going to have to not do that the whole movie. While Frederick is talking to us, funeral cars are being pulled up, and he's like, oh, it was my wife's idea to put our guests in funeral cars for, like, the theatrics of it all. It was funny. So we meet Lance Schroeder, who is played by Richard Long, and he is a test pilot I wrote down who needs the money, but Frederick says each of them need the money, so I stopped writing. Assume that all of our guests need the money, and that's why they're coming. So
you could say that about 75% of the people today that they need that money.
True. Yeah, that's true. I was like, yeah, I'll do that.
Exactly.
And then we meet Ruth Bridges, who is played by Julie Mitchum, and Ruth is a journalist who says that she's writing a column to expose how ghosts aren't real or some shit like that. We meet Watson Pritchard, who we met at the beginning. He is also one of the guests, which I don't know why he'd be going back there. I know he owns the house, but he said he's only been there once since his brother was murdered there. So again, desperate times, I guess. And then we meet Dr. David Trent, who is played by Alan Marshall. And Dr. Trent is a psychiatrist who says that ghosts are just hysteria. Cool. I already hate him. goes to real.
That's everything to this dude.
Oh, everything, especially women. Neat. So fun.
Well, yeah, that's like code for that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then we meet Nora Manning, who is played by Caroline Craig. Carolyn Craig. And then she actually works for the Frederick Foundation. She works for Frederick Lauren. So she's like a typist, which she's young and pretty. So like, why'd we pick her? That's a little creepy, Frederick, whatever. So our guests arrive and they enter the grand but cobwebby house. They get there, they get out, they kind of explore, but nothing really happens. So I didn't write anything down until they actually walk into the house and they introduce themselves to each other because none of them have met before tonight. So Frederick keeps calling it a party, but it's a weird party. And then we discover that Frederick Lauren is a millionaire who is on his fourth wife, who we will meet in a minute. The door closes and the chandelier starts to like swing back and forth. The chandelier is swaying and then Lance notices and like pulls Nora out of the way as the chandelier like falls and it would have fallen on her. So we're very quickly establishing a quick little relationship between Nora and Lance that by today's standards doesn't feel earned, but maybe that's just how it was in the 1950s. Someone saves you and like you automatically trust them. Cool. Whatever.
And he shouldn't have because we had to hear his screaming throughout the movie and it's the worst.
Poor Nora. Nora screams a lot. And then Frederick is just kind of up on the balcony, the landing, observing all of this, but he doesn't greet his guests. He walks down the hallway and goes into the bedroom where his wife is getting dressed, but she's not dressed for the party. And we meet Annabelle Lauren, who is played by Carol Omart. And she tells him, I'm not going to the party because I don't know these people. You didn't invite any of our friends. And he says, well, we don't have any friends. And she says, well, that's what happens when you're jealous and possessive and push all my friends away. Setting the dynamic off strong, everybody.
Oh, yeah. These two hate each other. Hate. That's great.
But it's like the prettiest hate, which sounds so weird to say. But like Jack and I were saying earlier, it's like their I hate you banter is funny. They keep threatening to kill each other. It's very like silky. Does that make sense when I describe it that way?
Yeah, I mean, it seems playful, but what they're saying is terrible.
Yeah, like he threatens to kill her with like a champagne cork. And he's like, wouldn't that make a great headline? Like Playboy millionaire kills my wife with a champagne cork. And how funny would that be? And then he's like, remember when you tried to kill me at the doctor's office? She's like, well, the doctor said it was something you ate. And she's like, well, yeah, an arsenic cocktail, something I ate. So they clearly are kind of been trying to kill each other over the years.
This is what happens when you don't let people divorce each other just because they're not compatible. Because he talks about like, oh, if I had a reason, I'd divorce you. It's like, isn't this enough? You like hate each other and are threatening to kill each other. Try to kill each other.
Yeah. Well, he even asks her like, what if I just gave you $1 million? Would you leave? And she smiles and shakes her head. And he's like, oh, you want it all. And she's like, I deserve it. Putting up with your, again, jealousy and possessiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like Jack said, he doesn't want to divorce her because then she'll take all of his money, but she's not going to leave until she gets all that or kills him. Let's see. They laugh it off. There's more back and forth. And then we go back to our guests who are hanging out in the living room because he's just kind of ditched them there. They're hanging out like, I don't know what's going on. So Watson Pritchard. Grabs a knife. Like he opens this, what is it, couch cushion or something? It's a hidden.
It's a couch cushion arm. Like,
yeah. Man. It's like a hidden chef's knife. And he's like waving it around and he's talking about how his sister-in-law like murdered everybody in the house and hacked off their heads. And all right, Watson, so let's settle down.
Dude. Why? Okay. Why does a couch arm open? Is this a 50s thing? Why is that happening?
No,
why is the knife that killed his brother in that fucking couch? Why was the knife even saved? Didn't it go into evidence with the fucking police? What?
Maybe he also restocked.
What? Watson owns the house, correct?
Yes.
So that means Frederick is renting it from him.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he have to be there to do anything? He's getting paid. Regardless.
Why
Maybe
indeed?
Maybe not 10 grand, but.
Watson seems to make bad life choices. And then again, so does Frederick.
Well,
so.
Yeah. And we'll find out that Watson continues to make bad decisions in this movie. So.
And be the bummer of the party. Like, no one wants to hang out with Watson, which is valid. I wouldn't want to either. But Again, you also probably shouldn't hang out with Frederick.
Watson has he's nowhere else to go.
That's true, I guess. True. Good point.
Watson's I don't like your logic, Von Dexter.
It's like, I was invited to this, but I have to sleep here anyway. Might as well get paid for it.
It's kind of like Breakfast Club when they... Jack, I don't know if you ever saw that, or you, Vaughn, when they like all go around the room and they're like, oh, why are you here? And each of them like list out their crimes, and then they get to Allison Sheedy's character and she's just like, hey, I didn't have anywhere else to go today, so I'm just hanging out in Saturday school. All right, girl, cool. So that's Watson. He's Allison Sheedy.
That's our Watson.
But less cool. Yep. So Frederick comes down and greets them, and Watson immediately tells them, hey, you got to cancel this party. These ghosts are restless. Like, it's going to be a bloodbath if everybody stays. And Frederick just straight up ignores him. And he's like, anybody want a drink?
All right. Yeah.
Cool. And he makes Ruth and Dr. Trent a drink. And Ruth's drink is Scotch and I kept thinking she was saying Scotch and I was like, oh my God, it's a fancy drink. Scotch and no, it's Scotch and. Like Scotch and soda, Scotch and whatever mixer you have on hand, which is a bummer.
Oh, okay.
Just fucking drink it neat, Ruth. God. Anyways. So.
Ruth's a neat lady.
Ruth is pretty unflappable throughout this movie, which I admired her for.
Nothing scares these people. Well, scares one of them. Maybe two.
So Frederick tells the party that the caretakers are going to lock them in at midnight. And they won't be back until morning. So there's going to be no phone. There's no electricity. And there's no neighbors anywhere nearby. So if you scream for help, tough toodles. Like, there's bars in the window. The only way out is through the front door. And it's steel. So if you're staying past midnight, you're in for the night. But if they make it, that they will each get $10,000.
I think my alarm's going off at this point. It's like, the guy that's offering the money to stay here is also staying here. Is telling us how no one can hear us or leave.
This sounds right.
He wants to murder everyone.
You're like, oh, okay, not suspicious at all. Yeah, go ahead and give me another drink.
Cool. Is this one laced?
Is this one of the arsenic? So he says, you don't have to stay, but if you want to leave, you do need to tell me before midnight. But if you leave, I'm not going to pay you, basically. And then Dr. Trent, like, that's cool, man. I don't give a fuck. Ghosts aren't real. It's just hysteria. So cool, Dr. Trent. Thanks for sucking. And then Watson tells them that last time 4 men were killed and 3 women were killed in this house. And they're like, oh, that's the numbers we have here tonight. Because, again, Watson just doesn't know how to relax at a party, even though this party sucks. And Frederick's like, well, you're a bummer. Why don't you take us on a house tour? So Watson starts to lead them through the house, and he shows them a big bloody stain on the ceiling. And he's like, oh, that's where a little girl was murdered. And then like some blood just drips and falls onto Ruth's hand. And Watson's like, oh, fuck, the ghosts have marked you. You're fucked. And Ruth's like, it's probably the house just probably leaked. It's raining. It's fine. And she like wipes it off her hand. Watson is a spaz.
If it is rain. You better check out where that's coming from, because it was brown as shit.
Right? Oh, it was brown in the color version, not red?
Oh, well, it was probably supposed to be red.
Okay.
But it was more brown than red. It was really a dark brown.
Gross.
But Ruth is like, just takes out like a little napkin and like cleans it off. She's like, oh, don't be silly. Like, no one believes Watson. Like, everyone thinks he's insane, so.
Which... when you look at it, like, objectively, you should be listening to Watson. Maybe not on the ghost front, but, like, he lives there, and it's his brother and a bunch of other people that were murdered in that house. But okay, yes. Sure. Watson is... nobody gives a shit what Watson thinks. So then he leads them to the cellar, which he tells them used to belong to Mr. North, who made wine. And... fuck all these men in this movie, seriously, because he's like, yeah, Mr. North made wine and his wife thought it was shit, so he pushed her into a vat of acid that he just keeps here in the basement and murdered her because she didn't like his wine. Bro, get some therapy.
It sounds like he was a whiny bitch.
He was a whiny bitch. Fuck you, Mr. North. God, learn to take constructive criticism. Also, who keeps a vat of acid in their cellar?
When did this murder happen? It's still down there. Like, clean up the fucking acid.
Yeah, well,
this was the 50s, though. Maybe it was like...
Well, no, because it would have been older than that. Because if Watson inherited the house from his
dead-ass
like, brother...
His brother didn't clean to pay it up. And then he lived there and didn't clean to pay it up.
Just keeping it around. Like, one would keep an alligator pit in their basement. Watson's like, no, the acid brings the room together. It's cool.
You see this, everyone? It's a plot device.
Dun, dun, dun. It is kind of cool, though, because it's in the middle of this stone floor, and to open it, it's got, like, a wooden lid, and they have to, like open it with a crank with it. A rope, and then Nora's like, oh, is that still acid? And Watson just picks up a dead rat, throws it into the vat of acid, and then, like, a little boop rat skeleton emerges, and he's like, yep. Gets rid of hair and flesh and just a skeleton bone. Cool.
It was a king size rat. That thing was huge. And none of them freaked out like it was a weird thing. They just were like, oh, yeah, this makes sense.
Oh, throw the dead one rat does. In. Sure, of course. Obviously, you would keep a vat of acid in the basement. It makes sense, you know, keeps the robbers away.
I probably would have been screaming like Nora later on.
When you have to clean up that rat problem, just use Chekhov's acid.
Yes, exactly. Chekhov's acid. Sold now in Target.
Oh.
So, then they all go upstairs, like Jack said, like, chill, except for Lance and Nora. Nora tries to go upstairs, and Lance is like, wait, why are you here? And she's like, tries again to go upstairs. He's like, hold on, wait. Why are you here at this house? Like, Lance. My guy, you saved her from a chandelier. That doesn't mean you get to tell her where to go or what to do. But Nora's fine with it, apparently.
At first, she's pretty, like, she wants to get away. But he's, like, closing the door every time it gets open. So he's essentially trapping her down there.
A little bit.
Which is pretty 1950s, if you say. Doll, boom!
It's very 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
So... She basically is like, all right, well, I guess I'll stay and chat with him. And she says that her whole family was in a car automobile accident, and she's the only one who's able to work. Does he comment on this? Does he say, wow, that must be so hard. Gosh, you're so brave. He ignores her and just starts to explore the cellar. He's like, boy, there's a lot of doors down here.
This is probably the most morbid line given in this movie.
Yes.
And no one, he doesn't acknowledge it.
He's like, oh. No, he doesn't even say, oh. He just nods and then's like, there's a lot of doors down here. Let's see what's going on in this cellar. Awesome. So Lance opens a dark room and he walks inside and then the door slams shut behind him. The lights go out and Nora's trying to open the door. She can't really get it. And then a female ghost or a female somebody just kind of creeps out from the shadow. She's wearing a black dress. She's got wild ass hair everywhere, creepy face, big old white eyeballs. And Nora is scared and decides, fuck Lance. And she runs back upstairs. She's like, I'm not staying down here with that ghost in the cellar. But she goes upstairs. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's the final fin move. That's what you got to do. You got to leave.
She's like, you know what? I don't even know that guy. He trapped me down here. I'm going to go.
Here's your chance. Escape. Here's
your chance. Get away from Lance. So she runs into the party room, the living room, and she's like, Lance is trapped in the basement and there's a ghost. Bah! So they all go downstairs, and instead of finding a locked door, they are able to easily open the door. But they do find Lance on the ground, and he's got like a head wound. Somebody bashed him in the front of his head. He's okay. Like, he's able to walk and talk. He's not super knocked out. So then Watson tells Ruth that the ghost did this. And Ruth just kind of gives him like a, yeah, okay, whatever.
Well, he just says they could have killed him, but they didn't. He doesn't elaborate who they is. But
that's true. So Nora is telling Frederick about the ghost. She says she's just kind of elaborating on what she looks like. And then Dr. Trent is like, oh, that's just, you know, lady hysteria. That's how your stupid brain works. You're dumb. Lance is fine. As he's like fixing up Lance's head. And then Watson is making, like, his seventh drink or something, and Frederick just comes over and kind of plucks the bottle out of his hand. But then he makes drinks for everyone else, which is funny. And we get a glance at the clock. It is now 10:40 p.m., which means we are scooting closer to midnight. Nora and Lance go back down to the cellar. And Lance tells Nora someone was in the room with him, but he didn't see them. So they start, like, examining the room. Lance is tapping to see if something is hollow. He counts his steps, goes in the next room. He says, okay, I'm going to go back into the original room, knock on the wall. You knock back when you hear me.
All of this is unnecessary. Like, he found, yeah. It sounded really reverby when he knocked on one place. Okay, there's a hollow point in the wall. I don't know why he has to send her into the next room to, like, track that. But
I think we're obviously was,
setting
like,
something up here.
Looking for a hidden passage or some way someone could have gotten into a seemingly locked room with him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, just don't go back in that room. Who cares? But
yeah,
well, Lance is a problem solver, apparently.
You could win 10 grand if you just go up to your room and don't do anything.
Right? Why are we hanging out in the first place? Stay in your room, yeah. Lock the door, don't talk to anybody till 6 a.m. Cool. Where's my 10 grand? Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I agree.
Exactly.
I agree. But they don't do that. So Nora's in the second room. And when Lance knocks, she knocks back and it's like equally hollow. And she's about to tell him that. But then she turns and the music swells and she sees the blind, scary ghost lady next to her. And she just screams like there is a sale going on and she just needs to let everyone know about it. Like, good Lord.
Oh, it's so painful. It's so loud.
So loud scream. And of course, Lance comes rushing over. He's like, what's wrong? And she's like, that was the ghost lady again. And he's like, well, wait, if she ran out of here, I would have seen her when I was running over to your room. And she's like, well, she didn't run. She just kind of floated. And he's like, girl, listen, you're cute, but I think you're full of bullshit. Maybe you do have a touch of the hysteria, like good old Dr. Trent said.
Here's that H word.
Hooray, hysteria.
Yeah, I do want to quickly describe. So we find out, maybe I shouldn't reveal this yet, whatever, the ghost or the, you know, what she sees. It's a close up now of even closer than it was before. So it's close. like you said, crazy ass hair, teeth all like fucked up. And she's in this like pissed off cat pose where she has her hands raised and then she just levitates across the floor through the door. Mm-hmm. It's so dumb.
It's
the effects in this movie. Ugh,
well, man. They did what they had, or they worked with what they had.
Oh.
But yeah.
Yeah, I can tell that.
Yeah. So she is very creepy looking. So Nora's pissed off that Lance is pretty much laughing at her at this point. And she goes all the way upstairs and she runs into Annabelle. And Annabelle takes her up to the second floor, basically to her bedroom. She's like, look, you don't even know that guy. Here's your room. You shouldn't be wandering off by yourself. Also, how do you know my husband? Why are you here? It's like, oh, mm-hmm. I work for Frederick. And she's like, okay, well, how well do you know Lance? She's like, oh, I don't know him. I just met him tonight. She's like, look, just stay away from all the dudes, okay? Just, this is your bedroom. Stay in here. She's like, freshen up, and I will come back and get you in a few minutes. She leaves.
Do we think Annabelle thinks she was cheating on Frederick? Or something? Is that why she seems very suspicious of Nora.
Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't put it past her to think that. Nora is young and pretty. She's like the only young, pretty one there. Because, I mean, not that Ruth is bad looking, but Ruth's like in her 50s or 60s.
Well, just given their really crazy dynamic in their relationship, I just figured.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
definitely possible.
It seems like it's not a relationship built on trust. We'll say that.
No, definitely not. So Annabelle leaves Nora in her bedroom and then she runs into Lance in the hallway. And Lance is like, oh, which one's my room? So Annabelle shows him his room and then she just goes in and sits down on his bed. All right. Mm-hmm. Don't you not know any of these people? Lance is kind of joking around. She's like, hey, so I saw that Nora was up here and she was pretty upset. And Lance is like, oh, yeah, she thought she saw a ghost, and I kind of made fun of her. And she's like, listen, you need to take tonight seriously. I think we're all in danger. Also, if my husband tries to kill me, which he definitely totally could, I need you to protect me. Again, you don't know him.
Weird.
All right.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, his first wife disappeared. His second and third wife were dead of a quote-unquote heart attack, but... Like, wait, you really think
she says, which
oh yeah She's like, but they were in their 20s. So also Frederick mm-hmm. likes to marry young because Annabelle's definitely a good 20 years younger than him. Or at least 10. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, I mean, Annabelle's pretty. So she damsel in distresses to Lance, who's like, oh, yeah, for sure. I'll definitely protect you. No problem. All right. So she leaves Lance. She goes back to her room. Then there's more light, kind of, but a little less light back and forth as Frederick comes in the room. He's like, darling, you're still not dressed for the party. And she's like, oh, I'm not going. She's like, darling, you're still not dressed for the party. I'm not going. And he just yanks the back of her hair.
Yeah.
But says very, very calmly in that same voice, darling, you're not dressed for the party. And she's like, okay, I'll be there. Like, ugh, it's uncomfy. But he leaves. He leaves her room. Yeah. And then he goes to get Lance. Poor fucking Nora. And then Nora opens her suitcase and finds a severed head inside of it. So she leaves her room.
She screams. Yeah.
She screams.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't actually scream. She leaves her room because I remember thinking, oh, wow, she didn't scream that time. She runs. She stops in the hallway. A servant grabs her and whispers, come with us before he kills you. And then she screams and runs away. Girl, that's what made you scream, not the head.
You're right. Before that, when she saw the decomposing head in her suitcase, she was making guttural constipation noises. Like, so, and then she ran out of her room. And I was like, what fucking noises are those?
I was going to say more whimpering, but yeah, sure. Guttural constipation noise. Poor Nora. Nora's not having a good night.
No, it's a bad night for Nora.
It's a bad night for Nora. So she runs to the living room and tells Frederick, I don't want to be here. I want to leave. Which, this shit pissed me off because...
No, wait.
She's telling Frederick, I want to leave. She tells Lance she wants to leave. And they're both like, no, wait. Wait for what?
Calm down.
She's not dating or married to any of you. If she wants to leave, she's allowed to leave. Those were your rules, Frederick. Anyways, the door opens and the... creepy servant who grabbed her and the lady who she thought was a ghost are there, and those are the caretakers. Okay.
They don't say that. They don't say anything. They just stand there like fucking statues.
Yeah, they don't talk. So we meet the caretakers, and Jones, who is played by Howard Hoffman, and then Mrs. Slides, who is played by Leona Anderson. And Mrs. Slides is blind, which is why her eyeballs look like that. I don't know why her hair looks like that, but...
No. Well, she doesn't comb it, maybe. I don't know. Is she called Mrs. Slides because she levitates across the floor?
I don't know.
I just put that together.
Maybe.
So that's really weird. That's not even explained. Like, she...
Mm-mm.
Anyway.
Right? If she's a human person, how the fuck did she levitate?
Yes. I absolutely...
So then Annabelle enters the party room, and she is dressed in a beautiful gown. And Frederick goes over the rules again, and he's basically like, oh, my wife's here, and these rules, and it's almost midnight, so if you want to leave, let me know. And then Nora's like, I want to leave. I want to get the fuck out of here. And he's like, all right. And he goes to open the door, but it's already locked. And the caretakers are gone. And he's like, it's not midnight yet. Why did they do that? And Nora's freaking out. She's like, I want to leave. He's like, oh, sorry, babe. We're already locked in. Tough toodles. Try to make it till 6 a.m., okay? Like, all right.
I do like to see Frederick a little flustered and shocked. Because it makes this whole thing a little bit more believable that he, like what his role is in this. But he's like, he's talking to Watson. He's like, the caretakers have never left. Or Watson says the caretakers have never left before midnight or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Frederick's like, well, we're not at midnight yet. Like, ruins his little game. So he gets all upset about it. I think it's funny.
Yeah, it does knock him off his game for a minute. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good.
I also thought, this happens in any movie, anytime it's supposed to be like a horror movie, but then they mention these like off-camera caretakers, staff or whatever, it's like, it's not like there's still other people around. I don't know. It's just kind of like I obviously in this movie, they show them as like, you know, they're kind of creepy and like freak out Nora and this stuff. But I don't know. Just movies where they mention like oh, the servants will be here until midnight. It's like, well, that doesn't, it's not that big of a deal then. You're only spending really 8 hours or
six. The servants come back at 6 a.m.
Okay, so you're not, it's not 12 hours, it's just six because you're, right. You know, everyone that needs to wipe your bottom and cook your food for you is not, is leaving at midnight.
Girl, what kind of servants do you have? I wipe my own bottom.
That's what I'm imagining. I don't know.
No, but you're right.
Wipe your ass and take your order, right?
There you go. There you go. Back in the day. But yes, so the servants, the caretakers are gone. So now they're really alone. And
finally.
Finally. And then next, Frederick says, oh, my wife, she's so funny with her funny little personality. She arranged these party favors for you. And he opens up 7 miniature coffins. He's so like, cute. Each one has a gun for each of you. And I'm like, should you really be giving them loaded weapons?
And I thought, honestly, I would have liked this a little bit better if each coffin had a different weapon in it. But the fact they all had like guns Clue. Was like, ah. Yeah, that's what this feels like, right? I mean,
a little bit. It's a non-funny version of Clue.
With guns. No. It's a bit more serious, yeah.
Yeah, and then he did something. He's like, oh, I got you guns. And then he takes his gun, points it at a vase, and shoots. And he's like, and see, they're loaded, which will come into play later.
Right in front of, yes, right in front of Annabelle's face.
Yeah.
Just like, boom. Like, wow. How are your ears, Annabelle? Can you hear anything?
Did you get hit with shards?
Yeah, no shit. I just wrote down, I guess everyone in the 50s was okay with handling loaded guns and just casually pointing them at themselves and others. Because there's times you're like looking down the barrel of this shit.
Like, there's so much unsafe gun handling. Yes, to go along with
the 50s.
Scotch and cigarettes. It was the 50s. So he gives everyone a gun, and Watson's like, well, guns aren't going to kill the ghosts. They'd only kill living people. And Frederick just kind of looks at him.
Yeah, I think that's the point there, buddy.
Uh-huh. And then Dr. Trent pipes up and he's like, so I think this is a bad idea. I don't think everyone should have a gun. Like, he's clearly talking about Nora, but...
Is it hysteria, doctor?
Hysteria shouldn't own a gun. And Nora tells them, hey, I found a head in my luggage. Like, Nora's pissed. I don't blame her. Poor fucking Nora. Yes. She's like, come up to my room. I'll show you that severed head right now. Which everyone leaves except Annabelle and Frederick. And she's like, Frederick, I really don't need this gun. I don't need it. So she hands it back to him. And Frederick puts Annabelle's gun back in the mini coffin, shuts it. They all go upstairs to Nora's room. Poor fucking Nora. She's like, see, it's right here. Of course, there's no head in her suitcase. And so now everyone thinks she's more crazy. And then Dr. Trent, in all his I know how to talk to ladies wisdom, is like, say, you crazy broad, would you like a sedative?
Yeah, the sedative line.
And then she starts screaming and tells everyone to get out.
Doctors in this time, it was like, how can I at the same time not believe your symptoms, but also make you want to shut up as quickly as possible? That's what doctors in the 50s were just like, just take this sedative. Just go to sleep. Just go to sleep.
You're annoying, you dumb broad. Take this and be quiet.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, how can I make this work? I know. Let me invalidate you.
And get worked up. Have some heroin.
Right? It'll calm her right down.
You feeling tired? Have some cocaine.
Perk you right up.
Make you forget all about that Sandman.
That's true.
And I guess, I mean, of course, alcohol is a present drug in this movie as well, with Watson. But I just wrote, Watson is doing the only sane thing, and he's mixing alcohol and firearms. He's like pouring drinks as he has his gun in his hands. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, like, what the hell is going on?
Well, Ruth is so keeping up with him too.
That's true. She's like, I'm not far behind you there, Watson.
But she doesn't act erratic. So Ruth is either a functioning alcoholic or... We just see her refilling her glass, but
she does drink a lot. It seems like she's always asking for it.
Yeah. Maybe she just keeps putting her glass down in every room she's in. So she's like, fuck, where's my drink? Can you make me a new one? she's a glass leaver. So Nora kicks everyone out of her room. She's screaming. They have a little mini conference about her in the hallway, which you can probably hear through the door. And Lance is at least smart enough to know that Nora is not his biggest fan right now, so he asks Ruth if she will keep an eye on her. And he's like, I don't know. You're a lady. Go talk to her about lady things. And Ruth's like, whatever. I'm going to be in my room. If she needs me, she can come find me. So I kind of ended up liking Ruth the best out of this movie.
Yeah. I mean, she's the most level-headed.
She's got her shit together. She doesn't get involved as much as possible.
I think with these movies, it's just the more lines you're given, the more you dig your hole. So she doesn't say as many lines, so we kind of trust her more.
A little bit. A little bit. Not the doctor, though. Fuck that guy.
See? Told ya. He talks too much.
And he's garbage. But yeah, so Dr. Trent and Frederick chat in the hall. Dr. Trent tells Frederick, hey, so this is enough of scaring people. I think this is a shitty thing to do to people. You need to leave Nora alone. Basically, he doesn't believe all the ghosts. He thinks Frederick is setting this up and terrorizing Nora. And Frederick just smiles and walks away.
His mustache does all the talking.
His mustache does a lot evil of talking. Fuck. Yes. So Lance goes to Nora's room. He doesn't see her, but he sees a severed head just hanging in the closet. All right. Whose head is that? We don't know and never find out. But
nope. And he just picks it up like it's not a big deal.
Right? He just grabs it by the hair, marches into the living room where Watson is sitting. And he's like, what the fuck is this? And Watson holds up a whole ass chef knife and just kind of points it at Lance to get Lance to back up.
Yeah, I mean, he's utilizing his couch knife effectively, I would say.
He's ready with his little couch knife. Not little. It's a big couch knife.
It's a bit. It's like a butcher.
Yeah. So he basically asks Watson, he's like, where is Nora? And Watson's like, oh, the ghosts have already marked her. There's nothing we can do for her now. You'll never see her again. Watson's a big hit at parties, clearly.
Yeah.
So then Lance hears a woman screaming, and the scream is like cut off midway through. There's a choking sound.
Yes.
And he runs in the hallway and he sees half of a body and dangling feet, like a woman in a dressing gown, and we see rope. He's like, oh my God, it's Nora. And Dr. Trent's at the top of the hallway. So Dr. Trent and Lance get the body down and they carry her into a bedroom. And then Frederick comes in and we see that it's not Nora who's dead, but it's Annabelle who is dead. Looking beautiful, by the way, for having choked herself out with a fucking noose. There's no ligaments on the neck.
Very angelic looking, yes.
Gorgeous. Yeah, Annabelle's a knockout. I mean, I'd marry her too, minus the wanting to kill me all the time. And I couldn't afford her. She's clearly after Frederick for his money.
Yeah, no. I don't have 1959 money. There's just no way.
No. So Frederick is kind of left alone with the body, and Lance then finds Nora. And she tells Lance, like, Frederick attacked me in the cellar and he tried to kill me, but you know, I got away and he thinks I'm dead. And Lance is like, are you sure it was Frederick? She's like, well, it was dark, but who else could it be? Lance tells her that Annabelle is dead.
Yeah.
This movie does a lot very quickly.
I will note quickly. Sorry to go back.
No, please. Please interrupt Frederick. Me. I'm doing a lot of talking.
Oh, it's what I'm best at. I'm in my element.
Yeah.
Frederick sees, just kidding, I'm kidding. Frederick sees Annabelle, and he's more surprised than sad. He is not sad.
True.
He's not depressed that his wife is dead.
Yeah, there's no crying or screaming. He's just, like, so beautiful, so greedy. Like, he's so sad that his pretty toy is dead.
But it makes the others think he's callous. Like, it doesn't look right that he's not mourning her, right? I mean, so.
Yeah.
This comes in play. It comes into play later on.
That's true. I mean, they fucking hate each other.
Doesn't make sense.
So
why be together? No,
why? Well, she's beautiful and he's rich. It's a match made in 1959 heaven, baby, or hell. Yeah,
it's like the Hallmark Channel. Isn't that
Hallmark? Hooray? Hallmark's new movie
episodes. He's just a rich guy. No one understands him. He swears off relationships. He's never going to. Oh, wait. Now he's dating someone again.
Hooray.
Wow. How that Married. Works.
So Lance hides Nora in like the second room of his bedroom. And he tells her, look, if Frederick thinks you're dead, stay out of sight. Like, stay back here. And then there's a knock at the door. So he goes and kind of pokes his head out, and it's Dr. Trent. And I don't remember what he says to Lance. He's just basically telling him we're going to meet in the living room.
Yes, we're going to meet.
Because no one had a text message back in those days.
Nope.
So Lance goes back to Nora once Dr. Trent leaves. He's like, all right, I'll be there in a minute. And he says, okay, you should stay here, stay hiding. Here's the gun. Use it if anybody but me comes in, basically. Which, you know, it's not the worst plan, honestly. If they already think you're dead, stay there.
Yeah, I think at this point it's more should Nora trust Lance? That's kind of the thing.
Right.
I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that. But she does. So
yeah, yep.
Frederick leaves his little room and goes back into the bedroom to look at dead Annabelle. And Watson is, he's like, what are you doing in here? What? Why are you staring at her? And Watson's like, I'm just watching to make sure the ghosts don't take her. And then Frederick just straight up starts choking Watson. He's like, get the fuck out. Get to see a little more of Frederick's jealousy on display. Don't look at my dead wife's body.
It's like, dude, she's dead. I'm sorry, well, but like,
there's a reason they don't like to hire male morticians. So at the morgue, death doesn't always stop some people.
What the fuck? What?
Yeah, well, that's probably not what Frederick was thinking. He just didn't want anyone to look at life, but Frederick is...
I think unhinged. Watson was so drunk he just went into that room and he thought it was his.
Or he really does believe that the ghosts are going to take Annabelle's body if he doesn't stare at it. Which, if he's staring at it, what's he going to do if the ghosts show up? Like, how are you going to prevent that, Watson? You're sauced and the ghosts aren't going to stop listening to you.
I don't know. Watson, the logic is not working with Watson here, so.
Watson's drunk off his ass. So.
Yeah.
If I don't stare at this pot of water, the ghosts are going to boil it. I have to stare at it.
But, and that's just common knowledge.
Gotta keep them ghosts from boiling.
But wouldn't you want the water to boil?
No, Watson makes his pasta cold and hard, like his life.
You know, that explains a lot about Watson, to be honest. I like my noodles crunchy.
He's kind of a wet noodle anyway, so yeah.
Oh, he is. Watson's no fun. So Ruth, Lance, Watson, and Dr. Trent, and also Frederick, gather in the living room, and Watson's like, oh, there's no escape. Like, we can't get out. And so then Dr. Trent begins to hold court. He's basically like, there's a dead body. We're stuck here till 6 a.m. So we're all kind of implicated in murder now, because how could she have gotten up there to hang herself? Well, she couldn't have, so somebody killed her. And then Frederick's like, one of you killed my wife. And they're like, oh, excuse me, motherfucker. You killed your wife. And we're all going to stay away from you. Which, I mean, yeah, that's fair. I would have thought it was Frederick, too.
Yeah, based on how they... Well, I guess they didn't act that way in front of the guests, but behind closed doors. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Do we see them? Only a little bit.
Because it's really just
party when he grabs too hard.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they act kind of weird either way, but... I think they hide some of that from the guests.
Yeah.
And most murders are done by a loved one. So it takes passion. Murder is a crime of passion. And this is a nice little segue for, did you know that some months after the filming of this movie, there was a murder by a doctor and his wife? Dr. Harold Perelson killed his wife Lillian with a ball-peen hammer. A few months after they filmed this movie, just over the hill. So the exterior shots of this building, the one of Frank Lloyd Wright's fancy house, just over the hill, is the house where a murder happened a few months after they filmed this.
Holy shit. No, I did not know that.
Yeah. The Los Feliz Murder Mansion.
Ew.
Oh.
It's kind of neat. You can look it up.
I mean, obviously, Watson's in the background saying, they're going to get her. Like, I mean,
yeah,
he is buying into this now. This is confirming his all this stuff for him.
Right. Like, for all of Watson's, like, the ghosts are real. His sister-in-law killed his brother and then all the other party guests with a knife. There was no ghost that did that. And again, so far, it's been people murdering people. So I'm not sure why Watson's so hung up on fucking ghosts in the first place. We haven't seen any ghost evidence.
I mean, honestly, if he stays there and there's that big of rats running around, that's what's making the noise. It's not ghosts. Those are huge Watson's rats. Just
drunk as hell, like, oh God, it's ghosts. And a rat just comes up and is like, hey, it's me.
Ugh, puffy plague rats. That's what that looked like.
It did. That was a big old rat. So then Frederick is basically like, look, I had a million opportunities to kill my wife. Like, who hasn't thought of killing their wife? Which, again, Frederick, my dude, lawyer up. You're really bad at defending yourself. And he's like, but also, if I wanted to kill her, wouldn't I have done it in a less obvious way? Not a great defense.
It's pretty convoluted. Like the scene was insane. Like, she's hanging from, like, the second floor, but, like, the rope is going down to the first floor stairwell. It didn't really make sense how she was hanging from there, but
yeah,
here we are.
But here we are. So Lance is basically like, well, I'm going to take my gun, and I'm going to go to my room, and if anyone comes into my room, I'm going to shoot them. So don't talk to me till 6 a.m., basically.
It's a good plan.
It's a good plan, which they all kind of agree to do, so they walk upstairs and they're kind of eyeballing each other as they deposit each person singularly to their room, which I thought was
clever.
I did too.
This is good. They're all like eyeing each other like, motherfucker behind me, the one that's murdering people? And then like, I'm just gonna go in my room, and they close it and like, you can hear every door, like they lock all the doors as they go in.
I did like, I don't remember which one of them said it, but one of them's like, well, what's the point in saying goodnight? And then they shut the door. And then the next person's like, well, goodnight.
Awesome. Yeah.
This movie is clever. So then it just kind of shows each of them like preparing for their long night of making sure no one murders them, but nothing really happened, so I didn't write it down.
Watson's in his room and he's cocking his gun, getting ready to shoot at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth is in her room and blood starts falling on her hand because there's a blood stain above her bed too somehow.
Yeah. She starts.
They should just check the attic of this place.
I know, that's where all the bodies are. And then Dr. Trent is just kind of like taking notes. Like, he takes note of the time and all that stuff.
He's the first one that gets like the doorknob. His doorknob starts moving.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck? He like goes out. No one's there. And he just goes back inside. Like, it's not really anything.
Yeah, it was kind of a nothing burger. Lance goes back to his room, and then he goes into the hidden room where Nora is, and he basically tells her the plan. He's like, look, I'm pretty positive Frederick killed his wife. I'm going to find a way out of here and get the police. And she's like, I'll go with you. And he's like, no, you stay here, but I'll come back for you. So, okay, Lance is going to go save the day. Cool. Thanks, Lance.
He's a hero.
Yeah. He's a test pilot hero.
Now, remember that what we just said. Because in 0.25 seconds, he's not the hero anymore.
Yeah. So Lance goes into the hallway. He goes up against a wall down the corridor. And he, like, kind of knocks on it and discovers, like, oh, this opens. So he opens the wall, goes into a hidden passageway, which is really a room. And it shuts behind him. And then he's just locked in there for the rest of the movie. So Lance doesn't do shit.
Idiot.
We'll save the day. Wow. Oh God, I'm stuck.
Oh shit, I'm locked in.
That was pretty good. And then let's see, the lights go out in the room that Nora's in, and I think, Jack, this is some of what you're talking about with the special effects. A rope comes in through the bars in Nora's window, and it goes towards her and curls around her ankles, which she doesn't move, she just watches this happen.
She stands still.
She stands still to let the rope go around her ankles. And then she's scared. And then she looks up and a dead Annabelle is floating outside her window with a noose around her neck. And Nora starts crying. Pretty scary. Would get me. She starts crying. And then the rope uncoils itself. So it's clearly just the film being played backwards. But whatever.
Yeah.
Or it was backwards the first time. It doesn't matter. The rope goes back out through the window, and Annabelle goes away, and Nora's screaming and runs out of the room.
And Nora screams for the rest of the fucking movie, it feels like.
There's a lot of screaming.
But she's running, running maniacally down the hallway, with a gun in her hand. It's like, oh no.
Waving it around.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, so much for not letting anyone know you're alive.
I forgot to mention this, and this is weird.
Yeah.
This kind of throws a little wrench into all this. Mm-hmm. When she's up against the wall, I think it's when she's watching Annabelle, like, move away from the window, a, like, hairy, scaly hand comes up and tries to, like, grab her.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
It's weird because it felt like they couldn't decide if they wanted to really put ghosts in this movie or not. There's, like, teeny hints of them, but not enough for us to be like, wait, was that a thing? Is that like, Frederick with a monster hand? What's going on?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you explain that? But it's quick. She runs away from it, so she doesn't actually see what it was. But
yeah, just runs screaming, runs into the living room. I guess this is a little more ghosty because she runs into the living room and then she sees an organ start playing by itself. So she screams and runs away again. So much screaming.
I love that the intensity of the scream is the same as when she saw a like a head in a box or whatever. It's like, oh my God, that organ's playing.
I hate that song.
It was pretty horrendous. So I
mean, it was a bad song. So next we see Frederick opens his door, sees Dr. Trent wandering around the hallway, shuts the door, and then Dr. Trent comes up to Frederick's door and knocks on it. So Frederick opens the door with a gun pointing at Dr. Trent.
Just, what do you want?
Yeah, pretty much. And Dr. Trent's like, look, I know you heard the screaming and I know you heard that organ playing. Someone has left their room. They're out walking around, which there's been a lot of noises, but I'm okay.
Yes. Yes, there has.
So he tells Frederick basically, like, I think we should look around, like, I'll take upstairs, you take downstairs. And Frederick's like, why wouldn't we go together? And Dr. Trent's like, oh, someone could be like minutes away from dying. We'll cover more ground if we split up. Clever. So Dr. Trent starts walking. He waits until he sees Frederick go downstairs. And then he goes into the room where Annabelle is. Annabelle's yes. Beautiful, dead, lovely body. Except he says, darling, it's almost over. Wake up, and we see Annabelle is not dead. Annabelle has been wearing a hanging harness. So,
which I had never heard of this. I don't know if this is a thing, but it's basically like a bodice thing with like a loop that they can hold the noose around or whatever.
Yeah, like a little leather bodice, which would have accounted for the hanging because she was wearing a loose nightgown. And then when she appeared outside of Nora's window.
Yeah.
And we discover that these two are having an affair, and their plan was to scare Nora so badly that she's to the point of hysteria, because Dr. Trent's like, oh, she's fully hysterical now. So he's like,
she's level three hysteric.
Level three! And their plan is basically, he's like, okay, I got Frederick to go down into the cellar. Nora's going to run down there. She's hysterical with the gun. So once she sees him, she's going to shoot him, and then we'll be free to live out our gross little lives together.
I hate that the movie doesn't debunk the hysteria thing. It just plays into it. It's like, okay, now that she's absolutely insane with in fear and she'll do anything, like, it plays into the plan. I guess it is the doctor, yeah. So he's like all hysteria all the time. So he knows this shit, I guess.
He's like, don't worry, babe. I got her ass. So to plan, Nora enters the cellar and the lights go out one by one because, again, they're candles. So she just looks around the room mm-hmm. as each candle starts to blow out. And then Frederick comes down the stairs and Nora's scared and he's like, Nora, wait, no. And so she shoots him, screams, and then runs away again, as is her protocol.
Yes. This is like the fourth time. It's driving me crazy.
Dr. Trent comes out of a corridor because he is also in the cellar. He's waiting because he's told Annabelle, stay upstairs until you hear the shot. Then you can come downstairs.
Yep.
He comes out of the corridor. He opens up the acid pit and then he goes to Frederick's body and starts dragging him to the acid pit. But then the lights go out. There's a choking sound. And then we're back up to Annabelle, who is coming down the stairs in her pretty ass nightgown. She goes to the cellar. Angelic. She's calling. What?
Angelic.
She is very angelic looking. She's calling for David. Dr. Trent's first name is David. And then the doors shut behind her. Each door starts to shut behind her. She sees that the acid pit is open, and then a skeleton rises from the acid. And it's Frederick.
You know what I... Man.
What?
What I thought funny about this skeleton, it had like the little metal bracings that like a skeleton that hung in like a science classroom has.
Yep.
So I thought that was kind of funny.
It's also shorter than her.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's pretty funny. This is funny. This is not scary. This is funny. Mm-hmm.
So when this movie first came out, in some of the first run theaters, at this moment when the skeleton rises out of the acid, they actually had a pulley system in the theaters to have a skeleton zoom across over the head of people in the theater.
Okay, see, that's so maybe cool. Part of that would get
Emergo system. Yes,
exactly.
That would work. Yeah, that's very cool. That would work. A cheap little jump scare. That's clever. So yes, the skeleton is rising from the acid. It's talking to Annabelle. It's like, oh, murderess, like, you thought you were going to live your happy little life, but you're coming in the acid with me. And
with Frederick's voice.
Yes, with Frederick's voice.
She knows it's him.
It's Frederick. And this is goofy, like Jack said, because the skeleton is walking slowly at her, and she's screaming and just backing up slowly, letting it push her. She knows that acid vat is open, and she's just letting it do the slowest walk at her.
There's a shot where she is backing up and like almost trips into the vat and like looks back, but then continues to scream and be backwards.
I keep backing up. I know. Who fucked this acid? Oh god, a skeleton. So she is on the edge of the acid.
She's giving Nora a run for her money. She's screaming so much in this scene. She's not as good, as loud as Nora, but she's up there.
She's still screaming. She's on the edge of the acid pit, doing that almost cartoony, like, wah, wah. And the skeleton hand reaches over and, boop, taps her on the shoulder and knocks her into the acid. And R.I.P. Annabelle. Once that happens...
Yes, indeed.
Then we see Frederick emerge from the shadows, so he is not dead, and he has this little pulley system he's holding, and we see that he has been orchestrating the skeletons, which I thought was clever, because it so obviously looks fake, and you're like, oh, okay.
Okay. I have a few things to bring up here.
Yes.
I didn't think operating a full-size skeleton would take, like, a mini, like, a loom, what? Not a loom. What the hell am I trying to?
I mean, like a lever pulley system.
It's an insane contraption. Yeah, it's an insane contraption, like strings, and like he's pulling levers and pulling, like wheeling up. It's hilarious. It's the best thing. Second, and more importantly, how did he have the fucking time to do that?
Right?
Because the doc dissolved, and then as soon as she heard the gunshot, Annabelle was heading downstairs.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not the doctor's skeleton. Well,
wait,
I guess
isn't? I thought, okay.
Well, maybe we are supposed to think it's the doctor's skeleton. I don't know if we are or if he just had, like, a science lab skeleton just hanging out. But, like, he's known about this affair, so he's just been biding his time.
Well, okay, so I thought, because once she falls in, then Frederick's like, now, my dear doctor, as he's talking to the skeleton and, like, pushes it in. So I thought it was...
That's true. Plus, we do see the rat dissolved really, really quickly when they shoved in the acid before. So he had his little lever system set up.
Yeah. Like, you would almost have to tie that stuff to the doctor pre-vat acid boning, deboning thing or whatever. There's no way you'd have time to, like... get the skeleton out and, like, tie the little strings up and, like, oh, is it in the right place on the wrist? So it looks like he's, like, grabbing.
Well,
like,
okay, so maybe
Frederick's insane.
When the lights went out and he knocked him out, and maybe he just knocked him unconscious, tied the string to him, pushed him in the acid, and then pulled him up.
That's even more, like, diabolical, dude.
Yeah,
like,
well,
that's hardcore. I want to see
Frederick.
That.
You want to see it. Like, walk me through your process, Frederick.
The little stash, it's sticking out evilly.
So Watson, Ruth, and Nora managed to free Lance, who didn't do jack shit to save anybody. Thanks, Lance.
It's so funny. I and love Nora, that they locked the hero behind a wall. That's
that
so
was
good.
Funny. And Nora's like, I shot Frederick. He's in the basement. So they all run to the cellar and they find Frederick, who's like, oh, you didn't shoot me. Like, I put blanks in your gun because I kind of fucking knew I couldn't trust you. Or maybe he knew that they were going to try to rile up Nora. I'm not sure. But he tells them about Dr. Trent and Annabelle's plan. And then he's like, well, my conscience is clear. Basically, I'm ready to stand trial. And then they all go upstairs and we leave with Watson looking at us saying, there's 9 ghosts now. They'll come for me and then they'll come for you. And then we walk through the rest of the house. The door shuts and the movie's over. Ta-da!
All I gotta say is shut up, Watson. Gosh, go home. Oh, wait, you are home.
Oh, the worst
they
home.
Just, okay, this is very 1950s, 60s. They just let the guy go. They're all standing there just like listening to his monologue and he just walks past them and leaves. It's like, oh, okay.
Right, like, why should they trust you? What evidence did they have that you just saw those two talking, got jealous, and pushed them both into the vat of acid?
I know, it doesn't, okay. I don't know. He's already, like, not a trustworthy figure, so that is it.
No. But it is a fun movie. This one, especially if you're, like, scared of horror movies, this one's an easy one. You can do it. There's no blood. Yeah. All the ghosts or skeletons are not real.
And clearly not. So, like, it's like, ugh.
Very obviously. There's, like, one or two jump scares.
It was funny.
Skeletons even credited as being played by himself.
I saw that, which was interesting.
Amazing.
Even in the 1959 credits.
That's really funny. All right, so Jack.
Wait.
Hold on.
Well, I'm sorry. It says that the if you click on the skeleton guy as the name as the actor, he has 35 credits.
What? Well, it's probably all the people.
He has 35 credits to his name. I don't know. Like some of these other ones are like CGI. But anyway, I'm sorry. CGI. Yes, I just had to say that.
Fair enough. All right. Well,
it was worth stopping. All right.
I don't know if I'm going to give Nora a drink. I think maybe I will give her that sedative. No. But I will give Ruth a drink because I respect Ruth. So what are you giving either of these final girls to drink?
I'm actually going to I'm gonna double back here and say I'm giving my drink to Annabelle because it's fitting.
Okay.
The drink I'm going to give her is battery acid cocktail.
Okay.
So, I mean, she basically had that anyway. This is a shot. And it is 1 ounce of green chartreuse, 1 ounce of tequila, 1 ounce of rum, 151 rum, Jesus. And then 3 to 5 drops of Tabasco sauce.
That will knock you on your ass.
Well, that's exactly what you, that's. I'm glad you said that, Sid. You segue to my next point because the description of this says, give it to someone you really hate.
That's valid because it sounds gross.
So I will give it to Nora. Thank you.
Oh,
I rest my case.
Da da da. Okay, fair enough. Well, I guess keeping in line with Ruth, I went to, let's see, ratedcocktails.wordpress.com, and someone made a cocktail for House on Haunted Hill, but they're specifically talking about Ruth and how she kept ordering the Scotch and how they thought it was a Scotch and. So I'm not the only one who thought Scotch and was a real drink.
Oh.
So this is called the Haunted Hill Cocktail, and it is 1 1/4 ounce of Laphroaig Scotch, 3/4 ounces of sweet vermouth, 3/4 ounces of fresh lime juice, 1/4 ounce of fresh pineapple juice, and 1/2 ounce of orgeat. But yeah, I'm sure that's right. You shake it together with ice, strain it into a coupe. You garnish it with miniature noose or a cheap cigarette or both. There you go.
What? Cheap cigarette. What?
Because they're smoking and because someone murdered with a noose, but not really murdered with a noose. It's with the theme, Jack.
Okay. I thought there was like literally a cigarette put in a shot or a drink or whatever.
No, I think they just put it next to the glass just to be like, haha, movie. Anywho, everybody, let us know your thoughts. Yes, Jack. You had your finger up. All right. What?
Yeah, I did. It's my international sign for can I talk? I still get shit. My drink came from bevy.co, and I would garnish with a spent 9mm casing from one of the guns I use on set.
Oh, okay. Not one of the blanks.
It's probably not. Probably not 9mm, but, you know, whatever it is.
Fair.
All right. Yes, please.
Okay. Well, thank you. If you would like to let us know your thoughts, you can reach us at finalfempodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at finalfempodcast. Let's see. Our next episode, Jack is going to be leading, and it's called Phantasma?
Phantasm.
Phantasm? Phantasm! I was obviously kidding. It's Phantasm. Duh.
Fantastical.
Yes, the Fantastical Phantasm. Anyways, we'll see you later, friends.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.